Leadership teams are as diverse as their leaders, but the leaders who shape the best teams seem to share this common characteristic. Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Well, it arrived last week, and I will finish it today, the 450 pages of Doris Kearns Goodwin's Leadership in Turbulent Times. Goodwin explores the leadership of Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, his younger cousin Franklin, and the enigmatic Lyndon B. Johnson. Now, I suspect you're familiar with Doris Kearns Goodwin. She's the former Harvard professor who is a world-class historian and biographer. The titles to her credit include, but are not limited to, Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln, by the way, the primary basis for the Steven Spielberg film Lincoln. She also wrote The Bully Pulpit, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and The Golden Age of Journalism, No Ordinary Time, Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, as well as Lyndon Johnson and The American Dream. As she notes in her foreword, and I quote, "Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson, the lives and times of these men have occupied me for a half a century. I've awakened with them in the morning and thought about them when I went to bed at night." Well, in Leadership in Turbulent Times, Doris Kearns Goodwin gives us three looks or three perspectives on each of these leaders. In part one, what she's going to do is help us to see what happened when they first entered public life. And she shows us the challenging paths they walked and how it shaped them as leaders. In part two, she describes the dramatic reversals that shattered the private and the public lives of each of the four men. And in part three, she's going to talk about their time in the White House and how who they were came to dictate how they shaped their times. Now, as with every biography I read, I have marked and highlighted the pages of this book left and right. But today, I want to focus for just a moment on the leadership teams of Lincoln, the Roosevelts, and Johnson. As I noted earlier, leadership teams are as diverse as their leaders. But the leaders who shape the best teams seem to share a common characteristic. Take FDR, for instance. His team became known as the Cufflinks Club. And I want you to listen to this anecdote, and then I want to share my aha moment from it.
Roosevelt long treasured recollections of the train trip. A fraternity in spirit. To each of these men, Roosevelt presented a pair of gold Tiffany cufflinks with FDR engraved on one side and the recipient's name on the other, binding them together in what became known as the Cufflinks Club, an extended family that expanded over the years to include Missy LaHand, his private secretary, Eleanor Roosevelt, Harry Hopkins, the head of the New Deal Relief Program, and Sam Rosenman, his counsel and chief speechwriter. That Franklin Roosevelt had the weight and breadth to lead the nation was already established to all the members of this original team. They were not simply devoted to him. After months of intimate contact, they had come to revere and love him.
When I consider FDR, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and LBJ, the makeup of the teams they led were as diverse as the men who led them. FDR's team revered him. Lincoln's team, initially anyway, all felt they were far superior to their captain. And LBJ's team, when it came to LBJ, his team had to pass the loyalty litmus test. For LBJ, loyalty was everything. Teddy Roosevelt's team, on the other hand, seemed to be a little bit more pragmatically formed. What I find interesting, though, is that every leader picked his team. Not one leader inherited team, well, except for LBJ, but he lobbied very hard to persuade many of the JFK team members to stay. In other words, it was still LBJ's call. And this calls to mind the words of Carla Harris in her book Strategize to Win, and I have shared this portion of Carla's book with many people. Listen to what she writes. When the new leader is given free rein over how to transform a business or a department, then the rule of thumb is usually to clean house. eliminating all the old team members and bringing his or her own team on board. Politicians do this all the time, particularly in city and state government. Then she writes, "When I was starting my career, I didn't understand why a new leader would get rid of people who are doing great jobs in their roles. But now, with experience, I understand the reason. A new leader needs to be assured that everyone who works with them is on their team." And then she says this, listen to this. "When you take a senior level position, there's enough pressure to prove yourself. You can't afford to spend time worrying about someone sabotaging or confounding your efforts to execute the new plan. And there's a higher likelihood that challenges would come from someone who's a part of the old leader's team with loyalties to the way things used to be." Now, when I began my senior level role more than 9 years ago, I inherited a team. It was a great team, still is. And knowing that some are going to be listening to this, I don't want any of them looking over their shoulder thinking, "Is my position in jeopardy?" It's not. We've got a great team. But the longer I lead, the more Carla Harris's words ring true. And I think it's harder to get to the level of FDR's cufflinks club when you inherit your team or you let a GM pick your team. So today, my aha moment is pick your team. And if it's not the team you want and you're in the position where you can, change it as soon as possible. The short-term pain will more likely result in the collaborative culture that makes for greater effectiveness and enjoyment. And that's my thought on my walk with Doris Kearns Goodwin and Leadership in Turbulent Times. Now here's my question. What will you do with that thought on your walk through life?